I would like to bid you all a very hearty good evening, and we are delighted to see all who have assembled here in the car park this evening. And to everyone, we give a sincere welcome in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. This is the second of our drive-in gospel rallies, and we are delighted to see you, and we pray that tonight God will bless your souls as you've gathered here to worship the Lord and to hear his word. And we want to commend to the Lord of heaven tonight our gatherings. So we're going to bow together just now. Let us unite our hearts in prayer and commit our ways unto our God and our Saviour. Let's all pray. Our Heavenly Father and our eternal God, we come to thee through the name of thy well-beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We bow down in thy presence in that peerless name. We thank thee for the one who came into the world, who obeyed the law fully, who gave himself at the cross, who rose again from the dead, who ascended to glory where he ever lives to pray for his own dear people. And Lord, we come to thee upon the ground of redemption. We commit our ways into thy hands this evening. We pray for the mighty power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon this drive-in gospel gathering. We commend all into thy care. We thank thee for every man, woman, young person and child who is gathered here under the open canopy of heaven and around the things of God this evening. We thank thee, O Lord, for the opportunity to meet in this fashion. We praise thee that thou hast said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're here, Lord, tonight for that purpose. And so we pray that the gospel will run and be glorified. We pray that hearts will be touched. We pray for the mighty power and presence of God to come down over this very field. We pray, Lord, that people in their cars will feel the sense of thy nearness. Pray that thou wilt come and cover us beneath the shadow of thy wing. And Lord, may the Spirit have his way. May there be power given from above to both our brother, Mr. Greenfield, as he sings and leads in the singing, and especially to the preacher, Mr. Stewart. O Lord, how we pray that both men will know the power of God as they minister first in song and then in the preaching. We pray, Lord, that thy name will be glorified, that Christ will be exalted. We thank thee for all of our office bearers who are managing the drive-in, who are overseeing the gathering of the people. And, O God, we just simply commend all to thee, we pray this night, for our province and our nation. And, O God, how we pray that thou wilt move in these days, days where there is still some uncertainty, where the virus is still present. O God and Father, have mercy, we pray. Again, we ask thee to bless our nurses and doctors and care workers, all those who are involved in looking after people who are ill. O God and Father, help them, everyone. And, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt move in our little land. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt come and deliver us from this virus. And Lord, how we pray that the Spirit of God will bring home to many souls a sense of their mortality, a consciousness of their need of Christ. And Lord, we pray that precious souls will be turned to thee, even here tonight, as we gather together for this time around the Word of God. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless us now and continue with us in this season. May Christ be glorified. For this we ask in his name and for his sake and for God's eternal praise. Amen and amen. We're delighted to have the Reverend Fred Greenfield with us to be our song leader and also our soloist. And I want to welcome him and his wife as well. We're glad to have Mrs. Greenfield along this evening. And so Mr. Greenfield's going to come and he's going to occupy this lectern here to my right, and he's going to lead you now in some singing, and I trust the Lord will bless the singing of God's praise to all of our hearts.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Greer very much for those words of welcome. Certainly a great joy and a privilege to be with you tonight at the drive-in service, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together. We're going to sing a lovely old gospel hymn. Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. So So just sing as unto the Lord. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Is very near. Thank God, burdens are lifted at Calvary. The hymn writer says, cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted in Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted in Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. For burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. The hymn writer asks a question in the old-fashioned gospel hymn. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless and white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Sing the verse, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained by sin. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lay aside the garments that are stained by sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus died for us, the place called Calvary, shed his precious blood. Thank God he rose again on the third day for our justification. And the testimony of every child of God tonight is, I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore. Then the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. Christ, my Savior, lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the same says, souls in danger, look above, for Jesus completely saves, and he will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, and billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. By his love, out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved. Christ could help, love lift, hallelujah, love lifted me, love lifted me, when no one but Christ could help, love lifted me.
For the last, this point in time, we're going to sing a couple of verses of that lovely old hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, the hymn writer says, perfect delight, and visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, I burst on my side. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Reverend Green.
Well, we want to thank Mr. Greenfield for leading us on those wonderful old gospel hymns. And in a few moments, he'll be coming back to the lectern here to bring to us a couple of solos. And may the Lord bless his servant as he does so. Once again, I want to welcome you. It's a joy to see all who are gathered and see so many cars spread out here in front of this trailer where we're standing. And we are delighted to see you along tonight, and especially those who are visiting outside of our own congregation. And we give you a very sincere welcome, and we thank you for coming, and we look forward to ministering to you even again in the future. So everyone's very welcome. I'd like also just to make a few words of thanks at this point to all who have helped in any particular way. First of all, to our brother Robert Andrews, who provides for us the sound equipment, and it is of very high quality, and you can hear well, I am sure, right across the range of all these cars. And we thank our brother Robert for being here to help out in this way. And then also, we thank McBurney Brothers for the use of this trailer, which of course is so necessary that we might be able to stand before you and minister to you tonight and preach the gospel as will be done on this occasion. So we are thankful to the McBurneys for the use of this trailer once more. I want to thank our church officers for the management of the parking and all the arrangements, and also John and Joseph for recording the meeting. It will be recorded on video, and copies will be available at some point a little later on after this meeting. We do thank them. We thank Mid and East Antrim Council for the use of this site. It is a grand site to have a gospel drive-in rally, and we appreciate the fact that we're able to come here once again on this occasion. And then, the Lord willing, we're planning to have a third drive-in rally on Friday the 31st of July. So please keep that date in mind, Friday the 31st of July at 7:30 once again here in this same location, and I invite you to come. You'll be very welcome. I believe there are more here tonight than the first night, not that we're taking any glory in that, but it is an indication that you're being blessed and you want to come, and so you make this known to your friends, your family, and encourage them to come along for that third rally, God willing, on the 31st of July, Friday night, 7:30, the 31st of July. That's all I need to say. Mr. Greenfield is going to come again. I want to thank him once more for being here tonight to minister among us, and we enjoy his ministry and song very much as he sings for the Lord. He's going to sing two solo pieces now. Immediately afterwards, the Reverend Andrew Stewart, our associate minister, is going to preach God's precious word, and we pray that the Lord will bless him mightily as he ministers the word of God tonight. Mr. Greenfield.
First piece I would like to sing is a lovely old gospel hymn, and the chorus has the words of the prophet Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he has borne our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. So if you know that, join in and sing the chorus.
On the cross crucified, In great sorrow he died. The giver of life was he. Yet my Lord was despised and rejected of men. The Savior of Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Came the leper to Christ, saying, surely I know that thou, Lord, canst make me whole. When his great faith was seen, Jesus said, yes, I will. And he touched him and made him whole. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. He has healed my sick soul and made me every whit whole, and he'll do the same for you. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. The Savior of men is he. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity.
Lord Jesus paid it all, the old rugged cross of Calvary, and yet many today go on in their sin without him. And the Lord Jesus told us, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and then he should lose his own soul? The hymn writer asks the question, have you counted the cost? There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of his Spirit is lost. And you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted, have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost?
though you gain the whole world for your own. Even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Now you may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? While the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depth of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Will you whisper, I yield? I have counted, I have counted the cost. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost?
Well, I'd just like to thank our brother Reverend Fred Greenfield for ministering in song. What tremendous words they were, words of comfort and words of challenge. I would like to thank him for coming and ministering by the Spirit to our hearts this evening. Also like to add my words of welcome to you who have come along to this Gospel Drive-In Rally. We are encouraged by your attendance here, and we trust that the Lord will bless even in the preaching of God's precious and God's holy word. Could I ask you please to turn in God's word, if you have a copy of the scriptures in your car, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, commencing at verse 1, and we'll read through to verse 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and if you have not a copy of the Word of God, well, just listen up and listen to the Word of God even as it is read from this platform. So let's hear God's Word, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. We'll end the reading at verse 11 and we'll look to the Lord in a word of prayer once again and ask his blessing upon the preaching of his word. If you're the Lord's child, you lift up your heart to him that he will come and grant the power that's needed and even speak to all that are gathered in their cars this evening. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank thee once again for the privilege of coming into thy presence through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for all the merit and worth of his precious blood. And we rejoice that that blood cleanses us from all our sin. We thank you for the one who was wounded for our transgressions, the one who was bruised for our iniquities. We rejoice, O God, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We pray, Lord, now for the infilling of God the Holy Ghost. I pray that thou would come and speak to all who are gathered. Lord, take the word and let it be, Lord, magnified and glorified in every heart. Pull down every barrier, every, Lord, hindrance to the gospel going forth and penetrating right into the very depths of the soul. We thank thee that thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray, Father, now that you would bless the preaching of the word and glorify thy dear Son and give me the help that I need. For I lift up my eyes unto thee. I pray these things in my Savior's name and for his everlasting praise and glory. Amen. Now, there is probably no word in the English language that is more stripped of the depth of its meaning than the word love. Due to the shallow romanticism of secular culture, we tend to view the love of God the same way popular music, literature, or films portray love. Yet the Bible speaks and tells us that God's love is far different and greater. God's love is set apart from anything that we experience in creation. His love is pure, having no selfishness or wickedness or sin mixed with it. God's love is a majestic, a sacred love that goes far beyond anything creatures can manifest. And God has manifested his love. He made an exhibition of his love so that mankind can see something of its nature and quality. Romans 5 verse 8 tells us, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The word commendeth means demonstrates. God does not just profess his love, but he performs that which shows forth his love. And God's love can be experienced in your soul. It's not just a concept or a truth that lies inert upon the pages of Scripture. For we read in verse 5 of this chapter about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. Now that's speaking of the heart of the Christian. The believer can know in their minds that they stand in grace and are redeemed by precious blood. And have a sense of that cognitively. Now, what does that mean? It means that they can know that logically and with understanding. They know it to be reasonable. But God goes beyond that and says, not only do we want to know that factually and by revelation, but God wants us to feel and experience his love in our hearts. We can be aware of God's love, filled with God's love, experience a personal, internal, and intimate ministry of God. And that's the wonder, that we can have a loving relationship with the eternal God. Now, at the last drive-in service, the Lord laid on my heart what verse I should preach upon. The words of this banner in front of me, that's the verse that I want to speak on this evening. So if you have not a Bible, you have the text here in front of you. Well, at least part of the text. Romans 5 verse 6 tells us, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now I want to consider from this verse, Romans 5 verse 6, God's love for sinners. God's love for sinners. And the first thing I want to think about is the objects of God's love. Now in verse 6, we have two terms which describe the condition of those whom God sets his love upon. Now we all know that human love is invariably based on the attractiveness of the object of love. And thus men and women, they usually are there inclined to love those who reciprocate love. The Lord Jesus Christ taught this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, speaking of the tax collectors of his day who were hated by society and they had no moral compass, yet it was said there that they loved those that loved them. The same quality of human love is often falsely ascribed to God. How many there are that think that God's love is dependent on how good we are or how much we love him. But this verse reveals the contrary, demonstrating that the love of God is different from our love. God set his love upon those who were and are without strength. Now we need to keep in mind that this book of Romans is a letter. And it was written to believers there in that city of Rome. They lived in the midst of Roman culture, in the midst of the very seat of Roman authority. The Roman Empire was a well-oiled, powerful machine. But the gospel of Christ is God's power. And Paul reminded these believers of that in chapter 1, verse 16. There was nothing more deplorable to the Roman culture than weakness. And that comes across in the Latin word that we have for virtue, which denotes power or strength. And Roman culture, they could not tolerate weakness. And yet, here in this verse, in Romans chapter 5 and the verse 6, we learn that God sets his love upon those who are without strength. Now, this term, it's usually used of those who are sick and feeble and deprived of physical strength because of an illness or because of disease. But the term is also used in a moral sense to denote inability or feebleness to perform a duty or an undertaking of some responsibility. Sinners are without strength to do what the Apostle Paul was considering in this book of Romans. That is, sinful man has no ability to devise a scheme of justification or to make an atonement to take away the wrath of God. You see, sinners have no power of themselves to save themselves, nor do they have any ability to keep the law of God. The sin of Adam robbed the whole of mankind of spiritual strength. You see, this verse, Romans 5, verse 6, does not teach us that sinners have a little moral strength. And that all they need is a little encouragement. No, tonight if you're a sinner, you are without strength. And actually you need someone to come alongside and do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And that's what Paul is focusing on in this term, without strength. It's our inability, not our guilt. I wonder, do you feel yourself this evening to be without moral strength and spiritual ability, without strength to overcome sin, without strength to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, death and hell, without strength to live a righteous life? Well, these are the ones whom God sets his love upon. We have another term in this verse which describes the objects of God's love, the ungodly. The ungodly, not only helpless creatures who are likely to perish, but also guilty, sinful creatures that deserve to perish. This term, ungodly, it speaks of one who has no reverence, who has no fear, no respect for God or the things of God. And again, this is the wonder of God's love, that it's directed to those who are not in some degree godly or in some measure willing or able to do the will of God. There is none like that by nature. We are told in Romans chapter 3, just back a few chapters, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's what the Bible tells us. This is what this word ungodly is. The objects of God's love are further described in chapter 5 in verse 8. While we were yet sinners, breakers of God's law. And then in verse 10, when we were enemies, that's rebellious to God's law. Here is the greatest of all commendations of God's love. It's not a love for the deserving, but for the undeserving. It's not a love for the obedient, but for the disobedient. It's not a love for the just, but for the unjust. It's not a love for his friends, but it's a love for his enemies. Human love is attracted, as already said, by the nature of the object or individual. But there is nothing spiritually attractive or morally beautiful in the sinner. God did not look down on sinners and say, oh, they're irresistible. I must love them. He who is absolutely pure. He looked down upon a people who were repulsive to his holy nature. And who were the very opposite of everything that he is and everything that he stood for. And yet he loved them. He loved sinners though there was nothing lovely in them. God's love is without any cause outside of himself. It is a free and a sovereign love. And that's the good news of the gospel. God loves those who are helpless. God loves those who are powerless. God loves those who are ungodly. God loves those who are sinners. God loves those that are enemies. That's the objects of the love of God. But also in this verse, we have, secondly, the operation of God's love. Not only the objects of God's love, but we have the operation of God's love. The scripture clearly speaks of the love of God. And it also presents the operation of God's love, the outworking of his love in time. In time. In verse 6 we read again, if we go to Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time. Listen, in due time. Now that little phrase, in due time, it means a specific point or period of time. But there's also another layer of thought to it. There's another aspect to it. It can refer to a moment that is especially appropriate, the right time, the proper time. The time for the operation of God's love was both appointed and appropriate. God appointed a time in which he would demonstrate through Jesus Christ his love. We read of this in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says that in the fullness of time, when it was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That little expression at the start of verse 4 of Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time was come, it teaches us at the time of the Son of God coming into this world, to be born, to live and to die was appointed and fixed by God. The stage of history was set for the coming of the Savior at a specific point in time. There is a time set by God in his eternal decree for all things that happen. And everything is accomplished exactly to his purpose and precisely on time. And you know, included in that is his appointment for the day of the sinner's salvation. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. And sinner, this is a day of grace for you. This is a day of opportunity, and you are not to let this specific, this appointed time pass you by. Wonder, will you take opportunity? Take that opportunity tonight and come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The operation of God's love is seen by his governing and ordering of all human history around his great plan of redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at Old Testament history. The Hebrews, they were taken into captivity into Babylon. But the Lord delivered them just as he said. And afterward, you know, the Jewish people, they were never given again to open idolatry. Ezra and the scribes, they compiled the scriptures. They taught them. And they established synagogues throughout the known world to expound the scripture. Through the conquests of Alexander the Great, the Greek language became the predominant language of the world. Then the Lord raised up the Roman Empire, and they built road systems. They devised a scheme of taxation which required every man to return to his own village. And this fulfilled the purpose of God for Christ to be born in Bethlehem. Christ's birth was not only at the appointed time, but so was his death. The New Testament and Christ continually speak of his are, this are, your are, they are. Christ died according to the will of the Father at a specific time. The cross was not an afterthought. The cross was not something that was plan B, but it was determined and decreed from all eternity that Christ would go and die at a specific time for sinners. The world was prepared in every way for the coming of Jesus Christ at the appointed time and for the spread of the gospel. And this thrills my heart. For I know that all that is happening and all that comes to pass, it's under God's control. His operation in time and in this world of all things is for the glory of his love. Understand that. This drive-in service tonight, though planned by men, decreed by God, and it is for the glory of his love. The operation of God's love was at the appointed time, but it was also at the appropriate time. Mankind, since Adam's sin, had been allowed plenty of scope and had tried every means they could invent to deliver themselves from the power of sin and obtain a favor with their Creator. Four 4,000 years of earnest philosophizing and ceremonial practices and legislative enactments and moral teachings had all failed. The world by wisdom knew not God. The culture of the Greeks had no defense against the inroads of moral corruption. The power of the Romans could not deliver from the dominating strength of sin. And you know, our age, the age in which we live, will find the same to be true. However, man in his pride, he thinks he will succeed where previous generations have failed. But in all their trying to become better and to have peace of conscience, they are only reinventing what has gone before, and they will too miserably fail. You will not be able to rid your soul of moral corruption by education, nor will you be able to liberate your soul from the power of sin by reformation. But the operation of God's love in due time, it showed to the whole of mankind, both those before the cross and those after the cross, that the only way to be justified, the only way to be free from sin, the only way to be forgiven of sin, the only way to be right with God, ready for heaven, is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he was showing and declaring there at the cross. The objects of God's love and the operation of God's love. But finally, there is the offering of God's love. God not only declared his love, but he demonstrated his love for sinners by sending his Son to be the sacrifice for sin. Christ died. Christ died. The Savior's death did not make God love sinners. Rather, it was because God loved sinners that he sent his Son to die. God gave his Son to die for the ungodly. It was not goodness in man, but love in God that was the moving cause for Christ's dying. You want to know if God loves sinners? Well, behold the cross. It's the greatest manifestation of the love of God. Now, Christ died. That's a historical fact. There was a man, Jesus of Nazareth, and he was crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem. That is historical fact. Christ died. But we need to remember that he did a great deal besides dying. He lived a life of perfect obedience to God's law. He never sinned in thought or word or deed, unlike you and me. But we are not to think of Jesus Christ's life as some sort of moral vacuum, that he was devoid just simply of those things that were wicked and sinful. But Jesus Christ was positively holy and righteous. His thoughts were always pure. His words were always gracious. His deeds were always upright. Again, unlike you and me, not only was Christ without sin, but he was positively full of all righteousness and holiness. But the crowning act of all that Jesus Christ did was when he gave himself as an offering for sin, as an atoning sacrifice to God. Christ died. It was an offering of infinite worth, which satisfied divine justice. And you and I could never offer a sacrifice to please God, such a sacrifice as that. And people think, and maybe you have thought, you know, I'll offer to God my works, my religious endeavors, maybe my baptism, my confirmation, my prayers, my money, my supposed goodness, and surely those things will suffice. Surely God will accept such things. But no, they never will. They'll never appease a holy God. He cannot accept them because all your offerings are tainted with the sin of pride. And they count the death of Christ as insufficient. Do you understand that? If you are not resting simply and wholly and completely on the finished work of Jesus Christ, and think that somehow you can enter heaven some other way, by your own endeavor, by your own work, by your own deed, do you know what you're saying to God? That the sacrifice of your Son was insufficient? What an insult to the God of heaven and to his dear Son. Consider for a moment who died. Who suffered the awful agonies of crucifixion? Who endured 3 hours of darkness when the wrath of God was poured upon him? Was he merely a man? A good man? A moral teacher? Is that all he was? Well, the text supplies us with the answer. It tells us Christ died. Christ, it's a title which means the anointed one, and indicates that he was sent on a divine mission, commissioned by supreme authority. God sent his Son. God gave his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, And the Son of God voluntarily became man while not ceasing to be God. Jesus Christ, the God-man. He was set aside to the work. And he was enabled for the work by the anointing of the Spirit of God. He is no unauthorized Savior. No amateur deliverer, but an ambassador clothed with an anointed power from the sovereign God of heaven. A redeemer with full credentials from the Father. This is the one who suffered, bled, and died for sinners. We're told he died for the ungodly. And that little word "for" has two meanings in the Greek language. It means for the benefit of. And it also means in the place of, i.e. a substitute. And what a thought this is. What a demonstration of the love of God. We, as sinners, we have sinned against God and offended him. We are guilty. And our guilt that condemns us. We are in debt to God's justice and ought to pay, to make amends, to appease God, but sinners are incapable of doing so. Yet in the divine and merciful plan of redemption, a substitute, Jesus Christ came and paid the debt of sin. And took the punishment in the sinner's stead. This truth of substitution is presented everywhere in Scripture by this little word "for." Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Or 1 Peter 3 verse 18. Christ also have once suffered for sins the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Christ, the godly one, he died in the place of the ungodly, taking the wrath that they deserved. And you must understand that when Christ went to the tree, though he remained morally pure, yet he stood in the sinner's stead. And God treated him as a guilty sinner. God did not ease up on his son at the tree of Calvary. God did not mitigate the punishment that he poured out upon the blessed Son of God. But the full fury and wrath of God for sin came upon the Son of God and entered into his very soul. When his soul was made an offering for sin. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And Christ stepped in to be my substitute. If you do not believe this, and if you will not trust in Christ and repent of your sin, let me tell you this. God, his justice will require that you personally pay for your sin. Let me say that again. If you will not repent and believe in Jesus Christ, God's justice will demand that you personally pay for your sin. And the place where lost sinners pay for their sin personally is hell. That awful place. And sinner, if you were to die without Jesus Christ there in hell, do you know what you would be doing? You would be making atonement for your sin. You would be offering up to God payment by punishment. You would be taking the wrath. And yet, you could never satisfy Almighty God because there is no offering that you can give. And that is why hell is eternal. Your debt will never be cleared. You'll be continually paying it in hell because you rejected the sacrifice and the offering of infinite worth. Since Christ died for the ungodly, this fact leaves you tonight, sinner, no excuse. If you do not come to Him and believe on Him unto salvation, tonight, in your car, just where you're at, as we draw to the close, take the words of that hymn of invitation, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." And let me tell you tonight, if you come tonight by faith to Jesus Christ, I'm not asking you to come to the front. I'm not even asking you to come to our church, but that would be nice to see you there. I'm asking you tonight and commanding you in the gospel to come to Christ. And if you come by faith, He will save you. And He will wash away every sin in His precious blood. His love will be shed abroad in your heart. It won't be just a concept to you, but it'll be a living reality. And you'll know something of the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God in Christ Jesus, which passeth knowledge. And if you will do that tonight, you listen to this. If there was nothing in us to attract God to love us in the first place, what could there be in those who repent and believe to make Him stop loving us in the second place? Did you hear that? If there was nothing in us to make or cause Him to love us in the first place, what could there be in those who repent and believe make Him stop loving us in the second place? In other words, if you come tonight to Jesus Christ, you'll be saved forever. You'll be loved forever. The text is before us. Part of it anyway. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The love of God for sinners, the objects of His love, the operation of His love, and the offering of His love. May God draw you tonight to His Son with those cords of love. And may you close in with God's offer of salvation by confessing your sin to Him, repenting of it, and trusting solely in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's commit our way to the Lord in a word of prayer. And do make myself available, Reverend Greer, Reverend Fred Greenfield as well, if you want to speak to some of us after. Just you linger and make that need known. We'll come. We'll open up the scripture and help you. But it's Christ you need. And you can call by simple faith, young person, boy, girl, man, woman. Simple faith, trust upon Christ, and He will save you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we give Thee thanks and praise for Thy great love. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? We thank Thee for the demonstration of the love of God. Lord, we stand amazed in Thy presence. We stand, O God, and wonder how You could love us, a sinner condemned and unclean. We thank Thee for the outworking of Thy love. We thank Thee for that day at Calvary's tree when the substitute was lifted up between heaven and earth and took the wrath that was our due. We We thank you, Lord, for that great offering. And I pray that this evening that men and women, young people, boys and girls, would accept by faith what has been presented in the gospel, that they would forsake their sin, and that they would know and experience the love of God shed abroad in their heart, which is given unto them by the Holy Ghost. I pray for the work of the blessed Holy Spirit to give those gifts of faith and repentance, to give life where death reigns, to open the eyes of those who are blind, and Lord, to draw them to Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy mercy upon us, another gospel drive-in service. And we pray that thy word would run, be glorified. Lord, we pray that it would bring forth fruit. And I pray now, O Father, for thy people, that they would know and experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Take us to our homes in safety. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.